You know, on Wednesday, I taught Wednesday, and one of the scriptures that came out of that time, you know, just kind of later, Earl and I were talking about what I was going to do Sunday, and I said, you know, I think I might come back and circle around to some of that. And so, but I wasn't sure, and so yesterday when I was, you know, thinking on it and just, you know, praying about it, it just became clear that that's what we're going to do. So, if you were here Wednesday, you heard a little bit of this, but we're going to break it down. It's my kids used to say with the song, they'd break it down, they'd do this little dance move. We're not going to do any dance moves today, but we are going to break it down today. So, what that topic was the discussion between, or about the two different types of word. So there are two different types of word from God. You have the written word and the spoken word. So those are the two words we're going to talk about today, and we're going to talk about the difference betwixt the two and how they work together. Glory to God. Thank God they work together. So I'll just, for Cindy's sake, I'm going to be in the Passion Translation, the King James, and a little bit of the New King James. Those are the three today translations we're going to use. I'm going to start, though, in John chapter 15, and in the Passion Translation. This is the ones that one of the ones we talked about on Wednesday. So John 15:3 in the Passion Translation, it says, "The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you." Now, to understand, so this what he's talking about, it says the words, okay? So this is Jesus who's speaking. If you have a Bible that's got red letters in it, then this is going to be in red. Jesus is speaking to the disciples here, and he says, "The words I have spoken to you." Now, how many here knows that Jesus is the Word? In John chapter 1, verse 1, and through that section of Scripture, I can't quote it like Pastor. You just go ahead and just rattle it off, babe. Yes, I do.
In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of the world. Light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. How far did He go?
That's enough. Thank you. I was just going to wait and see. I was thinking, he's on the timer too. So it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him," when he says in verse 2 or 3 there, "through Him," that's Jesus, "through Him being the Word, all things were made and created," or whatever translation you want to use. So Jesus came to, or he was the Word, and he came then to earth as a man, but he was the Word. So when he says, "The words I have spoken over you," he's talking about the written word. This, when you translate this, so you know how you can, if you're not familiar, you know, you can look up scriptures, and you can have a app that'll do this for you. I have a book that's about this thick and about this wide that is full of what's called a Strong's Concordance. And that will show you what every single word is in the Greek or the Hebrew, depending on, you know, Old or New Testament. So in the New Testament, it's Greek. The word words here in this section in the Greek is the word logos, L-O-G-O-S, or logos. I don't know how you want to pronounce it, but it's one of the two. It all means the same, and it means it is a written word. It is a completed work. So he says here, "The words that I have spoken have already cleansed you." That's already been taken care of. The written word is a completed work of things that has been accomplished. It accomplished what it set out to do. The Old Testament is talking about and speaking of Jesus coming. The New Testament in the Gospels talks about Jesus coming and doing what he needed to do, what God had called him to do. And then from that point forward, then the rest of the New Testament and the epistles and so forth, Paul is telling us what it accomplished by Jesus coming and doing what he said he would do. So all of this is a finished, completed work, right? In Matthew chapter, so then let's say this. Even though it's a completed work and it's done what it's intended to do and it's accomplished what God intended it for it to accomplish, does that mean it's not useful anymore? No. Absolutely not. Go to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35 in the King James for me. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35 in the King James. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, and this is the word logos or logos, however you want to pronounce it, this is the written word, shall not pass away. Praise God. Glory. So that word there is the written word. Now, let's go ahead and talk about the spoken word for a minute. So now we've established the written word is what you find in your Bibles. It is the completed work. It is the logos. Now let's go to John chapter 15 and verse 7 in the Passion Translation. John chapter 15 and verse 7. I'm going to grab a Kleenex. My eye is tearing up over here. Pardon me. John chapter 15, verse 7 in the Passion. It says, "But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done." Glory to God. If you live in life union with me, and I'll just tell you what that means just to start off. We're not going to spend a lot of time there. If you live in life union with me, it means if you are connected to the Holy Spirit, if you are connected to Jesus through the Holy Spirit, if you're connected to God through the Holy Spirit, that is that not just being born again, but living in life union with Him. And if my words, this word, words, it's always hard to say that, is the word rhema. R-H-E-M-A, it should be familiar. That is also the name of the Bible college that Pastor Earl attended and many others who fill this pulpit. If my words live powerfully within you, that is the spoken word. Rhema means spoken word. It's considered a now word. When we say now word, we talk about that, and we're talking about it is a word for you for right now, in this moment. It doesn't mean that these things are old words and they don't have meaning for us, but when you have a now word, that is going to be given to you for that specific moment in time. It's intended for your particular need. So we have logos and we have rhema. Those are the two types of word of God that we will live by. First, as I said before, the logos is the completed, already accomplished word, the foundation for the rhema word. So that's important to understand. And we'll talk more about this when we get to that section when we talk about the spoken word. The written word is the foundation for the spoken word. Every spoken word that you have, and we'll talk about this in a minute, is going to come from here as well. It's going to be it's going to get its foundation here in the written word. And if it doesn't, then it's not from God. And we'll talk about that. So the written word continues to be true. The written word is the thing. The thing about this written word is that it establishes what truth is. The written word is the truth of God. It is the foundation of all spoken words. It tells us who we are and what we have because of who we are and what God has done and accomplished on our behalf. It's also going to, before I go there, you know, one of the things that I hear people say all the time is, if the Bible says it, then you can have it. And you know, have you heard that? Is that just me? If the Bible says it, then you can have it. Now, I will say when you're talking to an unbeliever that is accurate. I'd say if you're speaking to someone who has not made Jesus their Lord, they're not walking in anything that God has provided, then that is an accurate statement. But if you're talking to a believer, then I actually disagree with the phrasing of that. And before y'all come at me, let me say it different. What you really should say is, let me say it this way I wrote it down. If the Bible says it, it already belongs to you. Yeah. It is not something that you still have to work towards to get. It's already been done. Yeah. That's what this is. The completed, already accomplished word. It's the written word. God spoke it. It became, it's happened. Now, I know there's a whole lot about what's still to come in Revelation. We've talked about that. Those things that have not yet happened doesn't mean they haven't been accomplished, because trust me, there's nothing you can do that's going to stop the rapture. Nothing. It's an accomplished work. There's nothing that you can do that's going to stop the second coming of Christ. That's done. It's been established. It will be accomplished. You'll see it, maybe even in your lifetime. Praise the Lord. The tribulation is coming, whether you want it to or not. The New Jerusalem is going to come and replace this earth. Glory to God. Those things are already taken care of. So even though we haven't actually seen them, we know they're coming. So even still, it's still an established, completed work. Amen? And there's some other things I probably skipped over there as I went there. But let me say this too. What the Bible says has already been accomplished, even if you're not living in it, and if you're not living in all that's accomplished, it doesn't mean that it hasn't been accomplished. If you aren't living in all that it tells you that it accomplished, then it's on you. It's not on God. He's already taken care of it. It's in here. It's been taken care of. It is accomplished. If you're not living in it, then that's on you. It's on us. And I'm not saying that to be harsh. It's a reality. We're not living in all that God accomplished. If you didn't know that, there it is. I'm sorry. I hope that doesn't bring you down, but it's just the truth. But the good news is that means we can go higher. That means there's so much more that we're not living in. Amen? You know, we were in Alabama, and I'm sorry, my hair is like getting caught in this thing here. When we were in Alabama, we had prayer on Thursday with the Garvers and their staff, not just us, all the ministers who had come to the service. There were probably 20 different couples of ministry. There was a few, you know, that were singles, but most all were couples, and I would say there were 20 or 25, maybe even 30 different groups of ministers that came to the wedding. It was a phenomenal time. And we had a really good time in prayer that day. And it was, you know, one of those times where, you know, you start to pray, and I just stayed in my seat. I stood for a little while, and then, you know, I sat down, and I started writing. And when you start writing, and God just starts pouring over you, and you start writing things down, and one of the things that he kept telling me, and actually I'll just read this section to you, I think. He says, I have so much more. There is so much more that you've never imagined. You cannot imagine it because you have not yet seen or experienced the depth of all that I have for you. Come in, come up, and come up higher. I have desired for you to rise up into all that I have for you. If you don't do it now, you'll not get what you need for all that is still to come. And so, I'll just finish this. He says, you'll be ill-equipped. You'll have to tread water rather than swim effortless in a current, like in a current with ease. Come up and be equipped. As the time gets closer and draws closer, we're going to see things on this earth that we never imagined. And if we are not in this and living in all that Jesus accomplished on our behalf, what God intended for us to walk in, then we're not going to be ready. He's been telling us that for a long time. That's what School of Spirit was designed for, why we instituted a couple years ago. One of the things that God said was, equip my people, and so that we hear and do what the Lord says. So we do that spoken word, but we got to get in here to know what belongs to us. And the thing is when we get into here then too, we understand and we hear the voice of God differently. You're going to, if you're not spending time in his word, then you're not going to recognize that voice. And the thing is that you're not going to even, or even the character of God. You get God's character from here. You get Jesus' character. You're going to know more about who he was, why he did it. You're going to be encompassed in that compassionate love that Jesus had that we have never really, we haven't fully experienced yet. And the thing is the more time you spend in here, the more you recognize that, you see that, and you will live in it. And that's why it's so important. Oh, heavens to Betsy, this is not an unuseful tool because it's already done. There's so much in here. So, now, I'm not saying that, you know, he had said, you know, basically we would, when the time, what he said, spoke there, I just kind of had an image of being in a river and treading water and fighting against a current, but not having, if I was fully equipped, I would have just been able to swim with it and it would have been easier. Doesn't mean you still won't come across some obstacles. Doesn't mean you're still not going to have things, but it's going to be so much easier. Now, that doesn't mean that life is just going to become a breeze. You know, the thing is that God never intended for us to struggle with the things that we struggle with. Are you struggling with things in your life? Can you honestly say, I got no concerns, I got no worries, I have no issues? If you can't say that, then we're not where we ought to be, right? And so we are facing struggles. We have financial struggles. We have home life struggles. We have health struggles. We have these struggles. And so if we're struggling, that was never God's intention. He intended for us to not have to struggle in those things. Now, it doesn't mean we won't have struggles. I mean, Jesus had struggles. And I say struggles, you know, he faced persecution. He was hung on a cross, for crying out loud, persecuted by his own people. I mean, so obviously we're going to see those things. And there's scripture. Let me read this really quick. It's not in my notes. Let me pull this up. Let's see. In John chapter 15 and verse 19, it says, if you were to give your allegiance to the world, they would love and welcome you as one of their own. This is the Passion Translation, if I didn't say that. But because you won't align yourself with the values of this world, they will hate you. I have chosen you and taken you out of the world to be mine. Now, this actually, in a different translation, it starts with basically saying, the world's going to hate you, and it hates me. Jesus was declaring that because the world hates him, as long as you're a follower of his, the world's going to hate you. And that's what he was talking about. But I liked this translation because it says, if you were to give your allegiance to the world would love you. How often do we see that right now? I mean, with all the different things going on in this world, if you're not hooking up and agreeing with them, then they are canceling you, or they are whatever their lingo is. You know, there's persecution for standing on the word of God and living according to those values. And so we do face persecution. We have that for sure. And so just like Jesus. So those are struggles that he had, but we were never intended to have these other struggles. And wouldn't it be easier to face the persecution of the world if we weren't dealing with all these other struggles too? You know what I mean? When your plate is full, it's full. It's overflowing in the wrong way sometimes, and you don't want that. Okay, so we should not be dealing with financial health and worry and stress and et cetera and all those struggles. They are for the unbeliever, the non-believer. It tells us in Matthew chapter 6. Yes, Matthew chapter 6. We'll just flip over there. It's also not in my notes. In Matthew chapter 6, I'm just going to speak this really quickly and get over there. My Bible is not. Matthew chapter 6 and let's go to 31. So do not worry, and this is the NIV translation. I threw a different translation on you. So don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? In verse 32, for the pagans. Now who's a pagan? A pagan is a non-believer. For the pagans or the unbelievers run after all those things. They're the ones who worry and fret over what we will wear, what we'll have, what we'll, you know, the finances, the provision, all of those things. They're the ones who fret and worry about those things, not us. God never intended for us to worry about those things. And you'll know that if you spend time in the Word, or if you're here too. So, the written Word is in us also, so that when the enemy comes against us, we have got that foundation to stand on. We have got that Word that can come forth. You know, when Jesus was tempted, we won't go there quite yet, but when Jesus was tempted by the enemy, every time he was tempted, with every temptation, he says, for it is written. He is talking about, he quoted the written word to the enemy every single time and defeated temptation in those moments. And that is when the word is inside of you, that's what will rise up immediately out of you when pressure is applied. And that's what Jesus did. That's how we're to face temptation. So if we have the word in us, then it's the thing that will come up and help us to fight against the enemy. So let me say this again before we move into the spoken word. The written word is the completed, accomplished word. It is finished. It is what already belongs to you if you are a believer in Christ Jesus. It tells us what Jesus it tells us that Jesus was going to come and to what he was going to do. It tells us that he did it. He came and he did it. And it is a completed work. And then what that accomplished for us, what it provided for us on our behalf. But you need to know all of it. You need to always be in it. It is the foundation for the spoken word. So now let's go back into John chapter 15 and verse 7 again. Put that back up in the Passion Translation for me if you would. John 15, 7. It says, "But if you live in life union with me and my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask. Only then can you ask whatever you desire and it will be done." Again, the word words here in the Greek is the word rhema, the spoken word, the now word. The spoken word, the now word, the Strong's Concordance says it's an utterance. It goes on and it says, a matter or a topic, especially of narration, command, or dispute. So a rhema word or a spoken word is a word that comes for a specific matter or a topic that you're dealing with. God will give you things. He might give you things about the future. He might give you things about that moment right then and there. He might give you something, even a revelation on something that even scripture that has come up, and he'll give you revelation of that. That is a spoken word. The word rhema actually comes from a root word that's R-H-E-O, and I think it was pronounced like I don't know. I can't tell you how it's pronounced. It just, wing it. Which means through the idea of pouring forth. So rhema is the pouring forth of the spoken word. That is what rhema means. It's an utterance. It is a spoken word. You're going to hear. It's something you'll hear, maybe not with your ears, but you'll hear it on the inside. So rhema means a word that comes directly from the Holy Spirit. It's always going to come from the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is here to do, is to speak to you on God's behalf. It's going to pour forth a word that speaks to the matter or a topic, and it will command or narrate or dispute that said topic or matter. Years ago, when I worked at the bank, I shared this. I don't know if I shared this Wednesday or not, but I've shared it before. When I was, you kind of get restless in your position. I'd been there for like 6 years. I was in this role, and I liked it. It was good, but I never wanted to move up in the branch level. So when I worked in the branch, I was a banker, or I don't know what you'd call it, a banker, I guess. And so from there, there was a assistant branch manager and a branch manager. So those were the top levels in the branch world that would be in customer facing, right? I had no desire to become assistant branch manager or a manager. That was not what I wanted to do. I wanted to get out of the branch and do something else. But nothing was really presenting itself. Nothing was becoming available outside the branch network. But I was getting restless. I wanted to do something different. And so and I was driving at that time an hour to work every morning. We lived in Roodhouse. It was an hour, 50-minute drive to Springfield to our office. And there was a branch in Jacksonville that was only 20 minutes from my house. And that sounded appealing. Well, their branch manager left, and they had an opening as a branch manager. And I thought, I'll just become a branch manager in Jacksonville because I wanted to sleep in longer. And I wanted to drive less. That's what I thought I wanted. And so I applied for it. And I didn't pray about it ahead of time. I just applied for it. And, I didn't hear anything. It was like crickets. Nothing. Just nothing. And I, as time was kind of ticking by, and I knew they were holding interviews, and there was still no word. It was like I didn't even send in my resume. And I thought, I was getting frustrated because I thought, well, now I'm just even offended, I was a top performer at one of the busiest branches in the whole district, not just in Springfield, but Springfield and Peoria and Champaign and Decatur and Bloomington. Our branch was one of the highest producers. Normally at the top, sometimes it'd fall second to a place in Champaign, but that was it. I mean, we were always at the top. And I was a number one producer. So how could they not want me in that role? That was crazy. So anyway, I was a little bit offended. I was a little bit mad. I was a little bit anxious and impatient. And so one day I was, at work, and I went to my car for lunch. And I spent some time praying about it. Lord, just tell me, do you want me to have this job? Do you not want me to have, what gives here? Give me something. And so I prayed, and I probably didn't pray quite like that, but I was, I prayed a prayer about that. And so anyway, I was kind of tired. I told you, I had a long drive. I had to get up early every morning, some crazy hour, to come to work, and so I was tired. So I thought, well, I'm just going to take like a 10-minute power nap. And so I laid my seat back and got all comfortable, and I got real quiet. And just as I did, I heard Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. At the very beginning of it, it says, can you quote that? Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that was all I heard, just those words. I didn't hear the whole scripture, the rest of the scripture in Isaiah. But when he spoke that, then he went on and he said, if you'll just wait on me, I have something better that you will like. And that was it. Okay. So I heard the written word come forth from inside, but then I also heard that spoken word for me concerning my situation. You see how those two work together? And so the thing is that oddly enough, I got a better job. He was right. I say oddly enough. That wasn't the surprise. What I was saying oddly enough about, I had to get up way earlier every morning. I had to drive way further. But it was good because I enjoyed what I did. And I in fact, God really blessed us during that time. It was a good season. But at any rate, the thing is that those two, that written word is what rose up. And then God expanded or expounded on that and gave me more from then additionally that was for my topic. And his voice, you've heard it before, some of you. Sometimes it's a quiet little whisper in your ear almost, and other times it's almost so booming that it sounds like someone is next to you screaming. it can be either of those things. It can come forth from a time like that in prayer when you get quiet. It can come forth. We joked around during camp meeting about how many of us God talks to in the shower. Sometimes it can be like that. Sometimes it can be, as you're driving down the road, it could be coming through a song. I shared on Wednesday, my friend Shannon, she got the first time she really heard from God was through a song she was listening to. First time ever in her whole life she'd heard from God, and she heard that, and praise God. And so then there's other times, where it may come forth from the pulpit, right here in the, from the pastor. It may come from, watching something on television. It could come from a commercial. I don't know. I don't watch commercials very often. Earl says I see a lot more commercials than I realize. He tells me afterwards, you've seen that before. I'm like, no, I haven't. Yes, you have. So I don't always pay attention, so I may be missing some valuable word. Who knows? It comes from each other. It comes from fellowship with one another. The word is going to, God will get the written, the spoken word to you. You have to learn to recognize his voice. You have to learn to know what to ask for. You have to learn to know what belongs to you. You have to know, and that comes from being in the written word. Knowing his character, knowing his voice, all of those things come from the written word. So, the spoken word is always going to have its foundation in the written word. If you hear a word or you believe you've heard a word from God in that small voice or that booming voice or through a commercial, you should especially check out those that are coming through a commercial. Ask God to reveal a scripture to you that hooks up and agrees with that spoken word. If you didn't get, like I did, with the spoken word or the written word first, then ask him for it. He will give you the written word that's the basis, that's the foundation for it if you don't know it already. Sometimes you just know exactly. Some other times you're reading it and God gives you that word. And that scripture, you've been there, you've read, and all of a sudden just like something on the inside just stirs. Or it's just like, oh, of course, I knew that. Things like that. There are things that, there's different ways that God speaks to you. It will come through the written word, but it's always going to have its foundation in the written word. If it doesn't, then it's not from God. And if you're not sure, like I said, ask him for it. He tells us in James chapter 1, he tells us that anytime we lack wisdom, we need to ask him and he'll give it to us. So he will give us that written word if it is not something that's obvious to you. And if you're not in the written word, a lot of times you won't know off the top. And so you're going to need to ask, or you're going to need to get into the written word until you find it. So let's go on. We get our position of faith from the spoken word. So, let's go over, we've talked about this, into Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, put this in the New King James, if you would, verse 17. Romans 10, 17 in the New King James. This is all familiar. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word, is rhema, spoken word. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the spoken word of God. That is how that should read. So once again, we see that rhema word, that spoken word. Our faith comes from the spoken word. You can spend all your time in here and no time praying or listening for the spoken word of God, and you can believe you're in faith for it, and you're speaking and you're talking this written word, but unless you've had a spoken word in addition to bring those two together, your faith is not going to make it materialize. You can force something to materialize sometimes, but it's not going to be through your faith that you get it. Without the spoken word, our faith is what Keith Moore refers to as fake faith. With fake faith, it may sound good. It may sound like faith. It may look like it from, all intents and purposes. You might be saying all the right things, and you may have the written word to support it, but if you haven't heard it from God, then you're not going to receive it by your faith. Again, you can go force something. There are ways around things. You can force something your way, but if God hasn't spoken it forth, then it wasn't your faith that got it, it was your own resources. So, now, as we have talked about, you have to have both. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, in the New King James as well. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. No, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. We're almost done. In the New King, it says, "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" That word there is the rhema word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every spoken word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is Jesus speaking again. This is that I referred to it earlier, where it says here, you can see, "But he answered." This is when Jesus is responding to the devil, when he's tempting him. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every spoken word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So, that is the rhema word. Jesus is saying we need to have the rhema word to live by. See? "But they shall not live by bread alone, by food alone, but they shall live by the spoken word that comes from God." The spoken word is just as imperative as the written word. You must have both. If you want to live the life that God has designed for you, then you must have both, the written and the spoken. When you spend time in the written word, you learn to recognize the voice of God, the character of God. You'll learn who you are, what you have through Jesus, and what has been accomplished on your behalf. And that gives you the boldness to go before God in prayer and ask for those things. Once you do, you'll begin to hear the spoken word of God concerning your situation. I talked about my friend Shannon during the Wednesday night service. And I talked about how she had first was praying. And when she was first praying, she was in a place, maybe it was a couple weeks ago I talked about this, I don't remember when it was, but whenever it was. And she was struggling in her marriage, and so she was trying to figure out, she was crying a lot, doing a lot of crying, and a lot of praying. And she's praying all the wrong things. And I knew she was praying all the wrong things because I've been there, I've done that. And in those times, I was praying the wrong things too. And so I was telling her, you can't pray this, you can't pray that. She said, "Well, how did you know that I was praying then?" I said, "Well, because I prayed those things too. And I was out of the will of God, and so are you in doing so." So I told her, you need to get into the Word. You need to start reading the Word. You need to, when you get here, your prayer life will change. It will start to hook up with what you've read because you start to understand the character of God, and you start to understand what He has desired for you, and you start to pray His will. And when you pray His will, things are much better. First of all, it's effective prayer. Second of all, you get what you're praying for, because his word's already spoken it. It's already accomplished it. If it's something that's already been accomplished, or if it's something that he's bringing about through the spoken word, it's always going to be better for you. And so once she started getting into the word, that's when she started hearing from God. And today, her marriage is stronger than ever. Praise the Lord for that. So, again, just an example of how you must be in both. God wants you living your best life. And that includes a life that both the written word and the spoken word are in. You'll not be balanced without both. You need both to fulfill what God has called you to do in this life and for you to have all that you desire. So don't forego the written word for only the spoken word, and don't forego the spoken word for only the written word. It has to be both. You cannot, if you haven't heard God say it, then don't do it on your own. I don't know how many times I've done that. Just thought, oh, I know this is what we're supposed to do. And it wasn't what we were supposed to do. And consequences. There are consequences to those actions. And the thing is that when you're in the written word and you're listening for the spoken word and you combine those two, you're going to walk out God's will for your life. You're going to have all that he has accomplished for you, or a whole lot more of it. It's going to take you higher. It's going to bring you up to where you need to be, so that as the things that are coming in the coming days, the coming months, even maybe the coming year, you're going to be prepared for it. You're going to be in a whole lot better place than if you're just doing it on your own, or you're not listening, you're not spending time in the written word, and you're not spending time in prayer. It has to be a healthy combination of both. Amen? Pastor, you want to add anything? No? Okay, well, we're finished up. Glory to God. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you for the written word. We thank you for all that it has accomplished. We thank you, Lord, that all that it has accomplished was for our benefit. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your spoken word. We thank you that it resonates within us with the through the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that because we've spent time in the written word, we know your voice. We know your character. We know what you have accomplished on our behalf. And we can come boldly before you and declare it and speak it. And we thank you, Lord, that your spoken word brings it to life for us. Oh, Father, I thank you that you have made a way for us to hear from you in this very moment, in this very season, in this very time in our lives. We don't have just the dry word, the written word. We have the alive spoken word to work with that written word. We thank you for the foundation that the written word gives us so that we have the spoken word in our lives. Oh, glory to God. We thank you for it. Now, Lord, as we go forth this morning, we go forth hearing from you. We go forth reading your word, spending time with you.